Tuesday, November 19, 2019 is called to order. Invocation tonight by Councilwoman Annette Mitchell, followed by our Pledge of Allegiance.
Good evening. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we approach our National Week of Thanksgiving, help us to remember and appreciate all the blessings that we have been given, our families and our homes and our jobs and our opportunities to serve and the greatest opportunity to live and serve in the city of Orange Beach. Guide us as we conduct today's city business. Give us the strength and the wisdom to make every decision for the best of our city. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Costo is not here. Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Cannon?
Here. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda with two additional items.
Move to approve the agenda with two additional items, approval of a real estate purchase agreement, and the second authorized donation of surplus ladder truck to the Alberta Volunteer Fire Department.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Considering the previous minutes from our regular council meeting committee of the whole from 10:15:19, if there are no objections, reading of the minutes will be waived. Any corrections to the minutes? If there are no corrections, the minutes stand approved as written. Okay, any announcements by our council? Terry? Long? Would you give us a final number? Wildflowers had their toys for
yes.
kids Saturday night. And
they're
tell me about
over
it.
$40,000.
Woo!
Wow. Wow.
Nice job.
And we're still taking donations, so stop by. And the money goes year round, it's just not for toys.
So. Wow.
And I want to thank all y'all for helping.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Back when I was a bookie, you would have been great to twist arms and collect my debts from me.
Yeah.
I promise you. She's tough. But it all goes to the Christian Service Center.
Yes.
And the Toys for Kids goes to their Christmas Cheer program, who served 190 families last year, 566 children. So, and we know what a good friend Christian Service Center is to our community.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you, Terry and Wildflowers and Debbie and your daughter. Thank you so much. Yes,
Mayor, I have an announcement. I'd like to let you know that last month we had our citywide safety inspection by AMIC, the Municipal Insurance Corporation, their loss control division. And I'd like to announce that we had a near-perfect score on that safety inspection, and it was probably the best one I think the city's ever had citywide. And I'd like to thank our safety committee and all of the employees that have really taken hold of trying to keep our workplace safe for everyone and keep everyone from being injured and our losses down. So I really do appreciate everyone's efforts on that. I would also like to take a minute to thank you guys. I wasn't here for the last meeting, but the dove hunt that we had a couple weeks ago out at Alligator Alley was a huge success. Wesley Moore put together, you know, gave us the farm out there to use his place. He paid for the whole pig for lunch. Kids got to enjoy the alligator park. We had great fellowship. Got to learn some safe firearms handling. The kids learned field etiquette, and then we went out in the field, and we had a great time. Had several city employees came out to assist with that. I'd like and volunteers, but I would like to thank, of course, Wesley for providing the venue for us to do that. Bill Jeffries came out and helped. Bill, you were great help. Thank you so much. Brad Johnson from Coastal Resources came out and served as a guide with the kid. Sam Jackson provided medical support in case it was needed from the fire department. Also, he sat with the kid. Matt McCreary and Matt Carroll with logistics both came out and worked it, and Jonathan Langston came out and supported and helped us bring people from the parking lot back and forth to the picnic area and other things. So anyway, it was a great hunt, great time. A lot of kids learned gun safety, and I really appreciate you guys letting us do that. It's a big deal. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, buddy.
Mayor, I do want to address something with our first responders, Steve and Chief. I apologize for not being there Saturday. I had some pending other issues to take care of Saturday, but I hope the community picnic went well Saturday. It was pretty weather, wasn't it?
It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful
Terrific.
Day.
Thank you.
And want to keep your mom in all of our prayers.
Yes.
Thank you.
She's in the hospital and appreciate it. All right. Auditing accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Okay. Take care of this proclamation.
Okay, tonight we have a proclamation entitled The Year to Embrace the Gulf. I think we have a variety of agencies that are here. Is someone here to receive this? Let me go ahead and read it.
Part of it. Some of it.
It's a long one.
Read the last paragraph. Summarize it.
Basically, we're bordered by the Gulf. We love the Gulf. The Gulf is a wonderful thing for all of us. And at the end, the Gulf of Mexico is more than just a pretty picture. It provides thousands of miles of beautiful, affordable shoreline living. The Gulf Coast region is one of the most culturally diverse regions in the nation, with millions of residents tracing their heritage to Europe, Africa, Asia, and Latin America. The Gulf Coast embraces a variety of traditions and invokes a strong sense of place. And Gulf tourism generates hundreds of billions of dollars each year and is... And if the Gulf region was a country, our economy would rank among the top 10 worldwide. By increasing awareness of the Gulf of Mexico's many treasures and limitless values, we ensure a sustainable future. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the Orange Beach City Council and Mayor that 2020 is the year to embrace the Gulf, and all citizens are encouraged to commemorate its observance beginning January 1, 2020.
How are we to do that?
We love the Gulf.
Just keep fishing?
Keep fishing.
Killing them snappers.
And boating, right? And beaching.
And it keeps on producing.
You got anything else?
Tracy.
What are going to be events to do this?
What type of
events? Events to celebrate, like paddling events and all kinds of events that I don't know about.
Probably bird watching.
We should know, and bird watching. I don't know about
that. Well, there's, birds are mentioned a whole lot in the second paragraph.
There will be events.
I'll be at all of them.
We love the Gulf.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Tracy.
All right. Chris, I want to, well, we got some special guests here, very special guests. I don't know how many of you know, but at our official kickoff of the Gulf Shores Dolphins versus the Orange Beach Mako's football game, we actually had a flyover. And I don't think there's ever been a flyover in Baldwin County, maybe not even in Mobile County. So I don't know how many in the state other than the University of Alabama, but it is beyond my comprehension how Chris pulled it off. We got it done. But I just want to recognize these pilots and the air wing that made it happen.
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council, we're so thankful for all those that participated, members of the United States Navy. We had participating in this was Lieutenant William Shakira, the call sign's in there, Shakira Brooks, Lieutenant Commander Matthew Bacon Clark, Lieutenant Christine Mayhem Hammonds, Captain Christopher Riff Miller, and Lieutenant Commander Jeff Holt Hogan. I wonder how he got that call name. Anyway, those were the five members who participated with this flyover and worked with me to make this happen. But here to receive recognition for that tonight are Lieutenant Commander Matthew Bacon Clark and Lieutenant Christine Mayhem Hammonds. If y'all come join me. Lieutenant Commander Hogan, he was at the air wing who coordinated with me and worked a lot on this. Lieutenant Commander Clark and Lieutenant Hammonds and the other two are all pilots that were flying the aircraft that flew over on October 24th. So they are here to receive that. And, Mayor, I'd like to turn it over to you at this point.
Well, I've said I don't have the words. Thank you. It was a huge deal from just being our inaugural kickoff rivalry game to the point that I respect and appreciation for our military and what y'all do. So you have no idea what it means to me, and I think it does to all of us.
Could you hear us screaming?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
The game is killed. It was awesome.
We were very excited. I believe I shall now be known as Annette Mayhem Mitchell.
You've been known that for a while.
Yeah.
You're not new there, right?
I would like to add that in the process of making this happen there at the last minute, there was a timing issue on our end, not theirs, and the national anthem. It was scheduled for their flyby to be at the very last note of the national anthem, and after all the coordination, something happened, and the singer started 2 minutes early, not by her fault. However, when I radioed them and said, oh, my gosh, guys, they started 2 minutes early. Can y'all get there on time? They said, we'll do everything we can. They said, we have to go full throttle. And they were smoking when they came by.
It was so exciting.
It may be the fastest flyover in history.
So, but they made it happen. They got it done. And yes. I was so appreciative of that. But we have a recognition certificate together. Ken, would you like to read that for them?
Take the photo, so I'll read this while you move over there. A certificate of recognition, whereas the United States Navy Training Air Wing 5 Training Squadron 2 performed a flyover at the inaugural Orange Beach Mako's versus Gulf Shores Dolphins Middle School football game on October 24th, 2019 at the Orange Beach Sportsplex. Whereas the coordination of Lieutenant Commander Hogan, and whereas piloting by Lieutenant Commander Clark, Captain Miller, Lieutenant Brooks, and Lieutenant Hammonds, and whereas without their combined efforts, a special edition of the flyover to the historic day in Orange Beach would not have been possible. Whereas the City of Orange Beach commends U.S. Navy Training Air Wing 5, Training Squadron 2, for its actions in support of our community. Now, therefore, on behalf of the Mayor and Council, we recognize the crew for their outstanding service to the City of Orange Beach and the Orange Beach Mako's. There are all five. You have five of those, so if you'd make sure the other three get those with their that, and we appreciate what you do. We just gave you the.
Thank you. Thank you.
That key opens the bank. It's the fake bank.
You pass me my glasses, Jeff.
You left them up there, Jeff. Would you pass your glasses?
You ought to be used to that by now, I think.
A zip line from here to there.
Yes, sir.
All right. We have another special guest and her mom. And let me talk to you, and then you can talk more about it. But Ms. Hallie Rogers, and her mom is Nicole Miller. And they are, or Hallie is coordinating a high school relief effort for the Bohemians after the devastating hurricane of last spring, this summer, I guess. I can't think. Forgive me. But Hallie, would you like to come up and tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
Good evening. My name is Hallie Rogers. I'm a freshman at Orange Beach High School. I want to start by giving a special thank you to Mayor Kennan, Chris Lighton, and the City Council for letting me speak tonight. I'm here on behalf of a city, or on a community service project in support of the hurricane relief in the Bahamas. Even though there has been months past, there is still so much to be done. Mr. Chris Lighton was kind enough to reach out and connect with the Convoy of Hope on my behalf, and they expressed a dire need for diapers and baby wipes. My goal is to fill 4 pallets that they will pick up and deliver to the Bahamas. In addition to this, I have designed t-shirts to help support this cause, and all proceeds will either be monetary or will go towards diapers and wipes. Again, I want to thank you. And these are the t-shirts.
Awesome. Oh, thank you.
That
is so nice.
Yes.
Where can we get the t-shirts?
Me and my mom.
Well, we need to give, yeah, an email. Can I go ahead and just give out an email?
You bet.
Well, please call Glenda tomorrow, give her your contact information, and how, and I'll get her to help disseminate on the signs.
Yes.
Yes. The need and the fix. All right.
Yeah, I don't know if you, but drop off locations right now we're still kind of working on, but you can drop off at the Sportsplex with Laura Davis up there. These walk-ins is for Hallie Rogers, okay. Or the high school. I know she's emailed the elementary school and the middle school principal, but I don't believe that they've gotten back with her.
The middle school too.
So the schools and the Sportsplex right now, and even if we can open that up and more, other drop off locations for you guys in the high school, we'll let you know.
Jessica, Jonathan, can y'all throw a flyer together that we can start putting out with the contact information and help us get the word out, okay? Let's do a full court press, Mark, on social media and everything, Cindy.
Everybody get some t-shirts ready.
Yeah.
We've got 100 right now. So.
Okay.
And we can make the recreation center a drop-off point with that.
Okay.
And we'll work with Nicole on that, yes, sir.
Good, 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 good. Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Thank you.
Is Chris Lighton here?
Yeah, right here.
I get that all the time. It's all good. It's all good. But I'd also like to mention, and it, pretty much everything is, has been said about how this came about. But I reached out to Pastor Fred, who's here tonight, and about working with Convoy of Hope and how to get the product directly to the Bahamas. Pastor Fred called his contacts straight at their central office, the people who coordinate that, and got it set up so that we found out what they actually need, what the real need is, so we can get those items. And they have agreed. We get pallets put together, gave us the dimensions, what they needed, and they'll come pick those up, deliver them directly to Miami, where they'll be loaded onto a vessel and taken straight to the Bahamas, not to go into a central warehouse to be used later if needed, but for direct relief to the Bahamas, so it's not something that's like we hear about with some of the other organizations. So, Pastor Fred, thank you for your help with that. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Haley. We are thankful for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Show the Makos. That's money right there.
There you go. There you go.
Stinky's good.
Thank you.
We have one more recognition, but this is actually to ourselves. The people
the last paragraph.
This is it. The Alabama People Against a Littered State, known as Alabama PALS. So we were selected for the 2019 Governor's Award for the Coastal Cleanup And we were the winner of that category in the city of Orange Beach. And Philip Wade Stevens and Nicole Werner went up and accepted this on behalf of the city of Orange Beach. So a really nice honor, and it shows coastal cleanup with all we do and the beaches, the shorelines, et cetera. So thanks to everyone involved with all of those, and that will hang nicely at the city.
Thank you, Philip.
Yeah. Thank you. Philip here. Thank you, Philip. Good job, buddy. All right, let's see where we are. I don't know if y'all noticed how I get all these calls. I immediately just say, call Chris, call Jessica, call Jonathan. I have no clue how to get it done. They figure it out.
You're a good delegator.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm a visionary, right? Which means I hate details. But they're the logistics, and those guys, we really depend on them to make things happen.
They get it done.
All righty. Moving to unfinished business, a resolution awarding the proposal for the Orange Beach High School Middle School bell. And I think we have postponed that. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're still waiting on pricing for the digital option and fiberglass.
Move to postpone consideration until the next council meeting on December 3rd.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Moving to resolutions under new business. A resolution authorizing the execution of extension professional services agreement, Harbor Communications, voice data to telecommunications.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution reappointing Julian Brackett, Municipal Court Judge, City of Orange Beach.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the purchase of LED lighting for the Sportsplex baseball field number 2, $145,900.
Move to adopt the
resolution. Second.
Discussion. This is for the new high school baseball stadium.
That's right. High school baseball.
Yeah.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution extending the entertainment district at San Rock Key Marina, Perdido Beach Resort.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution extending the entertainment district at the Wharf.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution accepting ownership maintenance responsibility for Surrey Lane, Webster Lane, Shore Acres subdivision.
Second.
Discussion.
Yes. At the time that I was writing this resolution initially, the roads were in a good state. But since then, we've had some construction of houses along that in that subdivision. And therefore, we've asked the contractor to repair that before the city takes over the street. So we're going to let this die until such time as I bring it back in front of you.
I mean, should we let it die until it bills out?
Yes.
Well, I don't know how long that will be. I mean, there may be lots that sit there that are not.
Well, but
I mean, I'll be glad to go down there and take a look at that because this is something that apparently has come up during the construction. So that kind of makes.
Well, we do have a maintenance bond.
Sure.
To cover any repair that's needed that we can cash, but you know, a lot of times subdivisions are built out, and then it can be years before all the lots are purchased. So
sure.
I'm not sure.
But
if
that's
we
the cost of doing business.
That's the cost of doing business.
Yeah,
I
don't know why we would take on maintenance of a private road before it's built out and becomes a. I'm struggling with that one.
And my concern is if they're reconstructing and repatching, we're going to take over patchwork. I can just imagine. It's not a huge subdivision, but in the same token. I'm going to go down there before I make a decision to bring it back up.
Why don't we just take it months at a time and perhaps?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kit.
Thank you, Kit.
Vote it down. So can we amend the motion just to postpone it indefinitely?
Move to postpone indefinitely.
That will remove it from the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Is that an amendment?
Yeah, and then vote to postpone.
So we need to
vote twice.
But we need to vote on the amendment.
Okay.
So roll, call the roll, please.
Okay. Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. Now we call the roll. I mean, now we vote on the motion. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of professional service agreement at Burke Klein Peter, Project Engineering Services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order with Burke Kleinpeter. Provide planning, conceptual design for cart paths and crossings within municipal corporate limits not to exceed $18,400.
Move to adopt resolution.
Second.
Discussion. As you all know, but I think the community needs to know, we're looking to see how we can create connectivity on the major arteries that will not allow golf carts on the street, such as Canal Road, 161, possibly Marina Road. So trying to figure it all out, but hopefully we'll have something here in a few months that makes sense. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order with Burke Kleinpeter. Perform professional services engineering, engineering services, Canal Road sidewalk, Cypress Village to Oak Street, $51,360.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. Okay, this is to try to move carts, kids, pedestrians from Captain's Cove, mm-hmm. or actually anywhere, well, from Captain's Cove right now, all the way to the corner of East Wharf Parkway. So it'll be continuous with a crossing at Bill Silver's at the red light there. It will not be a crosswalk where you mash a button because we will not be able to interrupt traffic. Mm-hmm. But we'll be able to move kids. Parents will be able to bring their kids to school and pick their kids up if they want to, either bikes, golf carts, or they can walk to school. Because those are two very large neighborhoods now with a large number of children. Probably our two largest density-wise of kids, I guess, in the community, except for maybe Terry Cove Harbor. So somebody had their hand up. Yes, ma'am. I think that's just general for serve. No, number.
Oh, that's the
number seven.
That's the overriding professional services agreement under which the task orders are awarded. So we just have a general like terms and conditions.
So that's our goal. That is a very difficult sidewalk to construct because of drainage issues. But we are, that's why we're an engineering firm. We're going to try to figure it out and get that done if we possibly can. Okay, any other discussion or questions?
Can you anticipate officers helping the crosswalk during school time?
Yeah, we'll have an officer at the red light and at the second entrance there. Excuse me, I got a phone call. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Or have we already voted?
No,
that threw me off.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Resolution approving the fiscal year 2020 budget for the City of Orange Beach.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Better not be no discussion. This has got to go. I'm tired of budget.
Yeah.
No, any questions on the budget? I'm just kidding.
Board, thank you for today. Saw we made some changes.
Yep.
I guess y'all had some meetings yesterday. So.
Well, we're going
I know it's a lot of hard work. Yeah. From that finance department, but all the department heads and all the work that they've done over the last 6 to 8 weeks. It's a huge task. It's a huge undertaking. Got a lot of good things happening in our city. And next year, a lot of good things are going to happen.
Well, let me qualify a little bit, too, of how we're doing this. This is somewhat of a gross budget to deal with recurring expenses, capital, replacement, repair.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still are going to deal with salaries as an ongoing basis based on the salary survey coming in and
right.
are continuing to survey what others are paying because it looks as though we may be behind in certain areas in certain departments and we got to correct that, but
yes.
we want to have all the information at hand before we make that decision, and we couldn't have it at this point in time that we need to have the budget approved. So that will continue forward evaluating individuals and citywide.
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This is an addition. Resolution authorizing the purchase of real property from Wallace T. Mullis, Ms. Carolyn Mullis, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a real estate purchase agreement, such other documents as required to close the transactions contemplated therein.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Discussion. This is the property right next to our finance building. Right next to our medical arts building, a piece in between where the pizza place is, and
Bonita? Is it Bonita?
It's Bonita, between Bonita and
Bonita's the road.
Yeah,
the
between Bonita
department.
And the finance. So,
yes.
So thank you. I saw you, buddy. Where you at? Are you in here? What buddy in here? Oh well, man, I'd have been here to get my check. I don't know. I didn't see him. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This is an addition resolution authorizing the donation of a surplus ladder truck to the Alberta Volunteer Fire Department.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any further discussion? Mayor Hamby wanted me to let y'all know how much he appreciated this. It is a really big deal to them, along with the knuckle boom and the other things.
Yes.
And so they're real happy. So is Mayor Wilson from Somerdale.
Yes.
So. Thank you.
Just one thing. This is the tiller truck that you drive from the rear, so that we've not been able to move. So
there's plenty of high rises in Alberta that they'll be able to use it on.
There's things they can do with it, I'm sure.
Getting cats out of trees and such like that.
Yes.
They'll really enjoy it.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Moving to public hearings. Well, public hearing works here is a presentation by Griffin Powell, our Community Development Department, followed by questions from the council. Then we'll open the floor up for discussion, close the floor, follow up questions, and move on. Mr. Griffin.
Yes, the three items today deals with a zoning text amendments to Section 2.02, 4.01, 4.02. 4.04 and 7.04, the three parts. Number one deals with modifying the definition of a dwelling unit. Number two, removing one-family dwellings, two-family dwellings, and multi-family dwellings from as permitted by use rights in the general business zoning district. And then the last parts, recommending a centrally located trash and sanitation facilities in a single-family and duplex plan unit developments that are on non-standard lots. The Planning Commission held public hearings and considered this at their October 2019 meeting and gave the amendments a favorable recommendation. If we go to our next slide, we'll start with Section 2.02 dealing with words and terms defined. The current definition of a dwelling unit's one or more rooms designed, occupied or used as separate living quarters with cooking, sleeping, sanitary facilities provided within the dwelling for exclusive use of a single household. All rooms within the dwelling unit shall have internal access, and the unit shall have no more than one electrical meter. If we go to the next slide, the proposed definition still references as an independent living facility, having cooking, sanitation, sleeping facilities, being designed for residential occupancy, and all rooms within that dwelling unit having internal access and no more than one electrical meter. The change to the definition will be that a building with more than one set of facilities for cooking shall be considered multiple dwelling units unless additional facilities are clearly accessories.
So if it's a multiple dwelling unit in a residential RS1, does it just get declined? Like, well, I'm a mother-in-law suite. Someone wants to build. They don't want to rent. Mm-hmm. What happens?
We have provisions for that. And I believe the square footage is between 400 and 600 square feet. Am I about right? And the kitchen would not be a full kitchen. It might have a microwave and a...
I'm asking this because I know the situation now where someone called the electrician and after the fact put the electricity in to put stove in. And it's a mother-in-law suite. And I just want to know how this is going to affect that, because we're going to have situations of this. And it's nice, one, to be able to answer them, but two, I understand what we're trying to accomplish with the rentals as well, that if it's there, it's a rental. They don't have, but we don't have to give them the rental license for it if it's in the wrong place. But maybe you can explain it to me before I say anything.
Well, this isn't a problem. This is a problem that exists now. people can come in and add kitchen appliances, but we really don't have any teeth in the ordinance to do anything about that specifically. We can about the rental. You cannot rent out in a single-family residential zoning district and have more than one family or more. You can't rent and then have the people that live there also in addition to the renter. That's you know, two entities in one house.
How are we handling a mother-in-law suite? If I own a piece of property, I have to move my mother-in-law and I want to build a suite.
You'd have to come in for a PUD because a mother-in-law suite with a full kitchen is a duplex. Mm-hmm. Whether you call it a mother-in-law suite or not, it's a duplex. And duplexes, or you could come in for a conditional use for a duplex if you meet the criteria, which means you have to be on the water or you have to meet certain criteria in order to even come in front of council. But duplexes are not allowed in single-family residential zoning districts, and this is changing the definition so that if somebody does come in and add a, it's primarily a stove and refrigerator. And Annette is correct, excuse me, Councilwoman Mitchell is correct.
Mayhem.
Mayhem. You can have a microwave and a fridge. I mean, those are at bars, you know, like if you have a little bar in your back living room or whatever. But if you come in and put a stove and a refrigerator, then you now have, according to this definition, a duplex.
A unit.
And we have people that are coming in under the previous definition and literally building a duplex and saying we found a loophole. Because this is, you know, not in the ordinance. And they know they can build a duplex because there is somewhat of a loophole. So this is closing that loophole.
Okay, we'll go to our next slide. We'll move to the Article 4 amendments. And what we're doing is removing all residential uses, that's being single family, duplexes, multifamily, from the general business zoning district. And the amendments to 4.02 and 4.04 is just taking out those requirements in regards to lot area, lot width, other factors, building height for residential uses in general business. Basically, it's just cleaning up those charts. Okay, and then our next slide deals with plan unit developments that come in. They may be single family duplex residential developments. They have non-standard lots, that those developments have a centrally located trash facility. What comes to mind, there's some on the beach right now that are, you know, small lots, and they may have 10 lots in there. Well, then you have 12 roll-away trash bins on the side of 182. So that's sort of getting away from that, having that all in a central location be picked up by the trash collection. All right.
Is that all?
That's it.
Okay, thank you, Griffin. Okay, questions for Griffin?
Okay, so item number one, number one, I understand. Number two, you just opened it up for the public hearing to remove the single family residential from general business zoning districts. Is that something we sent through the Planning Commission?
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. And they gave a favorable recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Was it 6-3?
No, it was unanimous, and there were no citizens attended the public hearing. There were no negative comments received.
Any other questions?
I'm sitting here looking at the zoning map. Go ahead.
I think the impetus was that we were just sort of getting a tilting of a balance with general business turning into residential. When in obviously zoning or land use, you try to have a balance of service properties versus residential. And what Kit is telling me, most GB zoning does not allow residential in it in other municipalities. Or other zoning districts. Yes, ma'am.
You had asked earlier if there were any residential developments in the GB zoning district. I believe Island Oaks, the condominium development that's on Canal over by Washington, I believe that is a GB zoning district. Mm-hmm. But we don't have many multifamily or single-family developments within GB currently.
River Run
I think that's a PUD, isn't it?
But it was general business.
Right, but that's a PUD, yeah. But as far as GB zoning districts, I don't believe we have.
Do we have any in application right now that are going to be affected by this?
No. Unless you've heard something.
We don't. Leaving Marine Resort alone, right?
Yeah. Well, for me, as far as I'm concerned, we are.
Yeah.
Now, again, that's a council decision, but I have no desire to bring it back up. I don't think this affects, you know, philosophically you can argue whatever you would like to argue on rezonings, but, you know, we know what we want to try to accomplish with general business, which is service. And so, any other thoughts? If not, I'll open the floor up. Okay. Okay, floor is open for anyone that'd like to ask a question or thought, comment. Yes, sir.
So basically, on the dwelling unit, you can't have two kitchens in your house.
Yeah, come on. I got to get you on recording. I got to know who you are, where you live. Of course, we all know who you are and where you live, but.
Ryan Long, 28295 Canal Road. On the dwelling unit, for easier way of explaining this, I cannot have two kitchens in my house if I wanted to build a house.
Unless one is accessory. So you can have a summer kitchen outside, but not two kitchens within your dwelling unit.
Okay. Is there any reason? And again, I'm asking this sincerely because I do want, you know, when you get tunnel-vised, you want to hear, is there something you're missing? And, you know, is there any reason that someone would want two kitchens in a single family residence?
I think there are still some lots big enough in Orange Beach where you can have a house connected with a porte-cochere and maybe a garage / game room where it'd be a single residence, and some people might want to have a kitchen out
in the game room
or man cave or whatever you want to call it.
Well, that should fall under what we first started discussion about, the mother-in-law suites.
That would be like a duplex.
Yeah. But why would it be a duplex?
Because then that's, you have the ability to rent.
That sets up a perfect scenario for a rental when you have an independent, even though it's connected to the other structure, you have the scenario where you have a fully functioning unit, like an efficiency unit, that maybe that person doesn't intend to use it, but you sell it to someone else, then they've got the ability to rent that structure out as a rental, which would be considered a duplex.
Can I ask how many situations like that we may have that we're dealing with people wanting to rent those now between y'all, anywhere between you and finance?
I mean, we get the question asked all the time.
Can you? Is that what they ask? Can they rent it?
Can I have a bed and breakfast? Can I rent out my garage? Can I rent out?
I understand the spirit while we're doing this, but it just also falls back to that property rights, and I've always been an advocate for property rights. You got to be able to do what you want on your own property. And I think the problem I have here is that the issue becomes, if they illegally rent it once they do it, then we have another mechanism to fix that. But to tell me I can't do it if I need to on my property, that I got to come back and file another application, and hopefully whatever council exists at that time get approved by, it's just tough for me to grasp.
It's not just a matter of rental. As I stated, there is a developer who plans to build a duplex and have condominium ownership for each separate unit. And there is no intention, from what I understand, to have rental. It will be two separate units owned via condominium ownership, and therefore the finance department would not be aware of it. And it becomes an enforcement problem when we have no way of verifying that indeed it is two separate units, because there's no way we would know in a sale, through a condominium sale, that that is two units.
So the devil's advocate side of this is, how many people do we all know that have toilets downstairs that aren't approved? We're gonna run in the same situation here, where they're just gonna go build a kitchen, not up to code, they're gonna put it in after the fact, because they're gonna do it, if they want it, they're gonna do it.
That's kind of my concern as well. But I understand where we're coming from, just giving both sides of the story.
This was brought to me by a neighborhood that was concerned.
Okay. Can you tell me which one?
My neighborhood. It's not your neighborhood. Your neighborhood's usually the one that it originates, but it's my neighborhood this time.
Jeff's neighbors are all outlaws. We know who they are.
My neighbors are taking up all the time with the police department. I know exactly what they are.
Well, I think it comes back to knowing who your neighbors are and preventing the ability to have unknowns, you know, moving and living in next door. And I just, if it's single family residence, it should be a single family residence. And, I mean, I guess I could maybe want to build a house and have two kitchens in it. I don't know, though, that to me would be more important than knowing that we're trying to make sure a single-family residence stays single-family residence and doesn't become a bed and breakfast or doesn't become something more than what it's supposed to be. And I understand the property rights issue, but for me, property rights – when you move into a city, you accept the fact that property rights are essentially delegated to you through an elected body, like a condominium or property owners association. And the wisdom of elected body may be good, may be bad. That's up to the electorate. But I do have a problem with the possibility of somebody. We built a mother-in-law suite for my mom who had dementia way back when and didn't think twice about it. Because
you put a kitchen in it?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, but that was way back. But the minute that sells, it's the perfect rental for the person that buys that house. And they will buy it and purchase it based on probably being able to rent that for $1,000, $1,200 a month. So believe me, the compassion, because I don't know what we would have done if we had not had a place to put my mom. But in new construction, we could have constructed it such and went through some process to possibly alleviate that burden of not being able to do it or in some way created a situation. Because if we had not had a full kitchen in there, she still could have lived there and been taken care of, but not been the ability to have a fully functioning unit for someone to rent next door to a family with four kids. That's sort of the 10,000-foot view of where we're at with this. And, again, the floor is still open, so if anybody wants to add to the conversation, you're welcome to.
Yeah, well, please do.
This applies to me, Kit. I believe my lot falls into a category where it's big enough to have two buildings on it. So if I built a second building on it, would that be determined an accessory structure and I can have a kitchen or I cannot?
Two principal structures, you have full rights to build each principal structure as a fully functioning house.
As long as I've got 25,000 square feet.
But you've got a lot big enough.
Yeah. Well, that didn't apply to me then.
So the point here really is a lot of the protection was from short-term rentals in our neighborhoods to keep the sanctity of the neighborhood. You don't always know you're going to need a mother-in-law suite when you're building a home. It usually comes unexpectedly. We don't ever predict when it's going to happen. And I don't know. I'm on the other side of this one.
Yeah, I get it. But that's the next night. The next owner is now it's a rental, and if they're looking for a way to, they're not going to worry about business license. Most of them that do those types of things don't care. They don't care about their neighbors. They don't care about the neighborhood. A lot of them don't even care about the community. So what we're trying to do is eliminate the opportunity for that to happen by proactively creating an ordinance that doesn't allow it to happen. That way we don't have to police it. We don't have to try to figure out what family's in there. Are they related? Is it a rental? And because it's happening, and it does happen, and the more expensive we get down here, a one-bedroom, fully functioning unit that goes for $1,000, $1,200 a month, people are going to take advantage of it. So, I can fully, fully empathize with where you're coming from. I get it. But, yes, sir, Greg. Everything would be godfathered in. grandfathered in, godfathered, grandfathered in. So. Well, they know they can't rent it. Yeah. Which they can't do anyway, I wouldn't. Yeah. But it's
rent the whole structure.
The whole structure, but not part of it. Right. But we're just trying to prevent the opportunity for someone to do that and not have to police it. Yes, ma'am. Well, Mom always ate with us, so it was a separate unit. We just wouldn't have put the kitchen, the refrigerator and the stove in there, which we unplugged anyway because she had dementia. So she had a place to be alone, to have hospice come in, take care of her. We could have put a microwave in there if we needed to, but it would have functioned for us without a full kitchen because we cooked all the meals, and my sister cooked the meals in her house, or in her kitchen. So we just needed a place for her to have privacy. And if we had a nurse come in, it was separate from the family because there were small kids in the house at that time. It was still attached to the house, but a garage separated the two. But today, that house could easily be, I mean, that unit now could be rented, has its own entrance. No, it doesn't. You have to go through the garage to get into it, so it doesn't have its own entrance. But it could be easily a rental unit, and no one would ever know.
You could still build that model that you're talking about.
Right.
You just can't have a stove in there. You can't have a faucet in there.
You can have everything in there except a stove.
Except a stove.
A range.
I thought a stove and a refrigerator.
You can have a fridge.
Okay.
And if you have a homestead, that's going to change it if you rent it, though.
You can't rent it.
20% tax.
Yeah. But, you know, the problem is, I mean, I went through this in our POA. We had a commune essentially in one house, a whole bunch of different folks living in one home that were not related. But how do you police that and how do you prove it? Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a very difficult situation. And if they had not brought a magnifying glass to their situation because of their behavior, we would have never known. It probably wouldn't have mattered, except that I worry about people that live in a commune so next door to me. And so.
This apply to people with the downstairs entertainment area?
You can have a full bar, you can have a refrigerator, you can have a sink, you just cannot have a stove. You can have a microwave down there, you just cannot have a stove, because that defines the kitchen.
I think she's referring to a summer kitchen. Are you not outside?
If it's outside, then it's no, it's not considered, that's considered accessory, if it's an outdoor kitchen, yes.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Can I get your name for the record? Can I?
Pat Davidson, okay. Easy Street.
The owner of that wonderful specialty shop at the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center.
That's right.
The Emporium.
The Emporium, that's right.
Exactly.
That's not Winn-Dixie. I'm sorry, Rouse's. I apologize. Rouse's.
If you have the main house, and you have a guest house, you rent the guest house, you're changing your tax rate from 10% to 20%, correct?
Correct. Wait a minute, let's slow down. If you got a guest house, then you only have a guest house if the property is large enough to allow two structures, am I correct? And if you have two structures and it's still homesteaded and you're not renting, then I still think you would be at a homestead rate.
But if you rented the guest house,
well, then that changes everything.
You basically lose your homestead 10%.
That's right. I'm not an attorney, but I slept at the Holiday Inn last night. So
yeah.
I think that it does. Once you rent it, that changes. You can't have a homestead and rent.
Correct. That's the point I'm trying to make.
That's
so
right.
That nobody misunderstands what's going on here if they rent it.
Anyone else? I'm moving slow because I'm still trying to digest this too at the same time. So, Council, y'all got any other thoughts? always let it sit for 2 weeks and think on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Okay, then I'll close the public hearing and we'll move on. Two ordinances, a first reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, the zoning ordinance, definition of a dwelling unit. First reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 72, the zoning ordinance, to remove residue from general business zoning district. So we'll give that time to summer.
Put some. On numbers 2 and 3, if you want to move for unanimous consent to suspend the rule.
I don't have a problem with 3. 1 and 2, I still.
I think they should just sit.
Okay.
Okay, I'm good with that. Okay, we'll move straight to our committee of the whole. Entertain a motion to.
So moved. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Committee of the whole for Tuesday, November 19th, 2019 is called to order.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Costa is absent. Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. And if y'all don't mind, I'm just going to read through them, and y'all stop me where you want to stop me, okay? Discuss rescheduling council committee of the whole meeting December 3rd to 4 o'clock. Is that okay with y'all?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yes.
We have two of us out on the 17th. Do y'all just want to do 2 weeks in a row? The 3rd and the 10th? Joni's out and I'm out.
I'm out the 10th.
Okay.
I don't want to break my record.
Okay.
So is anybody else out on the 17th?
Oh, we just have one meeting in December.
Not that we know of, but if one more were to be out, we would not have a quorum.
For the 17th?
On the 17th.
Well, we can decide on the 3rd if we got that much business. If we don't have that much business, we can just take a Christmas break. If y'all want to do that.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Okay. So 4 o'clock.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. And we need to keep the agenda.
Thank you, Angela.
Yeah.
Probably need to keep the agenda short if we can.
Yes.
All right, moving to resolutions. Resolution appropriating funds for the Mako's Academics Arts Athletics Club, $18,958.39.
And this will be the last for this year.
Is that good, Ryan?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Resolution award the bid for magnesium hydroxide slurry for the utilities department. Resolution appointing members to the employees leave bank committee. Resolution authorizing an additional one-time payment for future services.
We're still on board for them to receive that in December before the holidays, right? Wonderful.
Forward, are we on, we're good with that?
Thank you.
And we decide on $1,000, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So the goal would be potential approval December 3rd.
That's exactly
okay.
Right.
And we did have a 2% cost of living. So we have a 2% cost of living adjustment and $1,000 bonus.
That's correct.
For this year. Okay.
Full and part time?
Yeah. No, just full time.
Full time. No.
Yeah, full-time non-probation.
Non-probation.
For the one-time payment.
For the one-time payment.
That's correct.
2% is across the board for positions, yeah.
Well, okay. We could discuss a scale. We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about it at the retreat.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's one of those items we're going to take up as we move forward. And I'd like to ask what I'm telling all of our employees, if we're in February or March before we get all the information and we decide, yes, we are underneath where we should be, let's make it retroactive to January 1st.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Resolution authorizing a franchise agreement with July Enterprises, Coastal Express Shuttle, operator taxi service, city limits, police jurisdiction, city of Orange Beach. Resolution authorizing the purchase of 4 historic markers, not to exceed $12,000. Resolution authorizing the execution of professional service agreement with Goodwin, Mills, K-Wood, Project Engineering Services. Resolution authorizing execution of a task order. Goodwin, Mills, K-Wood. Sewer force main improvements from the wharf to County Road 12, $487,000.
Mm-hmm.
Resolution appointing city attorney. Resolution appointing attorneys for 2020. Resolution authorizing execution of service agreement with Next Solve Cybersecurity Solutions, doing business as threat advice for city employees, cybersecurity training. An ordinance is set a public hearing date for the Tom Thumb at the Wharf, 12/17/2019. So we need to change that most likely. We can't move it to the 3rd.
We can't because of the 15-day advertisement period.
Well, I mean, in respect to people doing business, if you have a quorum on the 17th, I think it should move forward.
Well, that's true, but there are others that might have something holiday as well, besides the two that are not going to be here.
Okay.
So If anything, I would say on, let's see, you've got to have 15 days, am I correct?
We can move it to the 10th if you would like.
Well, the 10th is, I'm out.
Here's out.
Yeah.
I'll be here on the 17th. If
we could do, the 10th is a Tuesday, is that correct?
Yes.
We could do the 12th
so
if we needed to.
Thursday.
Days.
Would y'all be here the 12th? That's the Thursday?
Yep, I fly on the 13th.
That sound good if we need to? And that gives a pool of players to pull from if we need to. Okay, let's look at that then.
So we're rescheduling the 17th meeting to the 12th.
Yeah, so they don't have to be put off, yeah.
Okay.
Public hearing date for ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Cotton Bayou's Cottages final PUD. That'd be 12-12. All right. Anybody in the audience? Do what?
We'll go to second session.
I can't hear. Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and do this, and then we'll go. I'll need a motion for executive session here in a minute for potential litigation in real estate and other things.
Would the target, would the time on the 12th be during the day or at the evening, 5 o'clock?
I think 5 o'clock, no?
Yeah, are y'all good with that?
5 o'clock, yeah.
That's a Thursday the 12th. Okay. Can't do Wednesday night. Y'all want to move it to 4? Y'all want to do it at 4 on the 12th?
I'm good with 4.
Yeah, that should be
good. Okay, 4 o'clock on the 12th. Yes, sir, Mr. Hewlin.
John Hewlin, 5087 Washington Boulevard. Tony, I just wanted to announce a golf tournament we have at the par 3. We have it the first Sunday in the months from October to March. And we need more people. We've had as many as 45 people, and you say, well, how do we handle that? And you only have 9 holes. That means you got a couple of fours from each hole. It goes quick. Ford can tell you he played last month, and after 3 strokes, you pick up. If you're not in the hole, you pick up, because if you don't have a birdie, you're not in the game. So it moves pretty fast. We don't take that much time. It's a skins game, and you put in $5. Every player puts in $5, and whoever wins a skin, you divide that money that's in there. And if 2 people have birdies that cancel the other guy out, you got to have a winner, a clear winner.
Do y'all give a 1099 on that so they pay taxes? Yeah. Is that legal?
and also we have closer to the pin. Everybody puts in, all the players put in $2. And the guy that's close to the pin on the hole, we have 1 hole. And they win the pot. Plus, starting last month, Sam's gave a $100 gift certificate for close to the pin. Ooh. So, and last month we had 25 players, so the guy won $125. On that. We also have hole-in-ones. We've got 9 local businesses that sponsor a hole, and you get $250 for hole-in-one. We haven't had one in 2 years. At one point, about the 3rd year we had this, we had 2 hole-in-ones on number 8 on the same day. And we told the sponsor, you pay $250. And I went and told the guy, he said, I hope we win because I need to publish it. And it was Ships Harbor Grill at that time. And he said, I need to publish it. So Sunday evening, I called him. I said, Matt, I got some good news and some bad news for you. The good news is you're getting some publicity. The bad news is it's costing you $500. And he said, wait a minute, you said $250. Well, when Tony came out, and we took the pictures, and he told Matt, said, you know the $250 sign over at Sports Play? I'll give you that. So they're like good for it. So he really only had to spend $250. Something else we have, you got 18 chances for holding one, by the way. We play the white tees the first round, blue tees the second round. We have free hot dogs, soft drinks for you. That's about 12:30. We start that. And then 1 o'clock is a tee time. That's about it. And we if you have a foursome, you want to bring 4 buddies to play, we keep you together. We put you together. Okay. You got 3 guys, we'll add a 3rd guy and a 4th guy to that group. So come out and join us if you would, first Sunday and each month.
Okay. John, please call Glenda so she can get it on the marquees.
Pardon?
Call Glenda so she can get it on all the marquees.
It was last month it was on there.
Okay. I just want to make sure it stays on there. Yeah, and just, y'all already doing it? Okay. Good, good, good. Okay. Okay.
Thank you, John.
Anyone else have anything they'd like to?
Yeah, Mayor, I have one other thing I'd like to add. For the American Fairy Tales production that was last week at the event center, the risers that were ordered for that came without metal guards to keep people from falling off of them. And at the last minute, I reached out to Public Works, to the street department, to ask if they could come up with a solution. And those guys did an amazing job of fixing, of fabricating something to put on those so that those risers could be used. And Jason Young and his whole crew need to be commended for that because they did an amazing job on short notice and got that done. So I'd like to say thank you to them if I could.
They made that happen in 3 hours.
Good job.
Mayor, just one last thing. Just so everybody knows, the Christmas decorations for the most part are in place, and some parts of town will be on tonight through the rest of the week. They will be turned on and plugged in because our transmission went out on our bucket truck, so they're having to move with the boom lift, which is much slower. So
we can use that ladder truck we're giving.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We can probably rent it from Alberta. Yeah.
See, I'm not sure the ladder stays up. That's the problem with the truck. So it's going to look great.
Got to have quick hands on the bulbs. Yeah. Well, for those, we have some folks that always ask me, why do we turn the lights on so early? Well, it takes 2 weeks minimum to get all the lights up. Then it takes us a little while to sort through what works and what doesn't work. And thank you. Me too. But we absolutely want them on for Thanksgiving holiday.
Yes.
When you come here for Thanksgiving, that Friday, it's just Christmas for most people. So,
and if you look around through South Baldwin County, look at the municipalities, because I was laughing a couple of weeks ago, barely getting through Halloween. Everybody's getting ready for Christmas. Look at our retailers. But it's a race. Foley does a great job. Gulf Shores does a great job. I haven't been to Alberta to see if they have, but now that they have a ladder truck coming, they'll be able to get their lights up. So. But it is a race, and I think a lot of folks like to see them up a little bit early, especially around Thanksgiving. Yeah. Gives you a little bit of a push that it's coming. So.
I would like to say one other thing. Ms. Mitchell, you gave me an enormous amount of town time to do every year to the budget that you're committing, and I just thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much, and thank Matt Fetner and Penny Grew and Clara Myers who joined us.
Mm-hmm.
As members of the Finance Committee.
Can y'all imagine having Clara Myers and Annette Mitchell in the same room sorting numbers?
It's mayhem. Pure harmony.
That's the mayhem twins.
Mayhem. I can imagine it very well.
But that's why we have money in the bank.
Thank you, Councilman Boyd.
Absolutely. Somebody's got to be the bad guy. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, okay, I'll entertain a motion for us to go into executive session for potential or pending litigation and real estate.
Okay, as required by Alabama law, I'm certifying that it's appropriate for you to go into executive session to discuss pending litigation.
And real estate?
And real estate.
Well, I don't have to certify the real estate.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
All right.
Aye. Any opposed?
I'm sorry.
So anybody?
The second on that?
Who's the second?
Second.
Okay, thank you.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
So for anyone that'd like to stay and hang out just to hear what we have to say afterwards, probably an hour. So. We are adjourned until we return.